You are listening to a sermon from Mission Point St. John. We hope this message encourages a deeper connection between you and Jesus, our Savior.
Matthew 7:24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken unto him a wise man. Look to your neighbor and say, are you smart? Look to someone else and say, are you smart? Because if you're smart, you're like this man, which built his house upon, someone say, a rock. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does not do them shall be likened unto a foolish man. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be a fool. Look to someone and say, don't be a fool. Because what foolish people do, last night we learned that they compare. That's not wise. But foolish people built their house upon the sand. The rain descended. You're basically reading verse 25. The floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great, not small, not insignificant, utter devastation, utter failure was the fall of it. Great was the fall. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, at God's word. I've heard from your youth president as we've got to spend time together over the last couple of days that this event is all about growth. Someone say growth. And I believe someone's going to build different than how they've built in the past because of the words of God that's going to come from Matthew 7. For the next few moments before I get to leave and you get to leave and go home, this last service, I want us to make sure we can answer this question the right way, that you're not foolish, but you're smart, that you're wise. Look to your neighbor and say, what's your foundation? Look to someone else and say, what is your foundation? One more time, in your own words, can you close your eyes and can you ask God to open up your heart, your ears, and your mind to receive what he has from the word of God today? Can we all lift up our voice right now? One more time, if you love the Lord, why don't you clap your hands? Amen. You may be seated. Before I go any further, I received a call from a friend. Don't want to say his name because it's a private family issue. And his dad is currently just made it to the hospital, Brother Card. I know I was in your office. And they're doing EKGs and tests. He suffered a stroke. So I wonder if we could just lift our voice right now and pray for this person's dad. Can we all close our eyes and lift our voice that God will bring healing to his body? God, I pray right now. God, you know who we're talking about. I pray that you can bring peace to the family, bring healing, God, to that elder. I pray right now that you bless the doctors and nurses. Give him strength. God, as he's traveling home to try to figure it out. God. I pray that your grace will reach him. I pray that your mercy will reach him, God. God, show yourself strong and get the glory out of that story. We praise you for it. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Chris, prayer works. Prayer works. Last night, I think her name was Molly. She was praying with Bella up in the front, and Molly's friend, brother, if I'm not mistaken, received the gift of the Holy Ghost last night. She's been praying for a while, and prayer works. So thank you for joining with me in prayer for my dear friend. I believe God's going to heal him and help his dad in Jesus' name. It was 2013 where the president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, someone say Mandela, where Nelson Mandela passed away. This lady named Fiona thought that Nelson Mandela died in prison in the 1980s. She had this memory, someone say memory, that Nelson Mandela passed away while in prison in the 1980s. But yet the news station, Sister Janelle, is saying that he just died. So she goes to Google. She goes on Google and she types in Nelson Mandela dying in prison. And she realized, Brother Curtis, that hundreds, thousands, and even tens of thousands of people had this false memory. They thought it was real, but once again, feelings are real. They're not always right. My wife teaches me that often, Hannah with H, because I sing and I'm like, man, that was pretty good. I felt like it was good. And she said, it wasn't. Okay, y'all are laughing too hard. What are you giggling for that hard? Alex, you better get her. So feelings are real, but they're not always right. And so she realized that tens of thousands of people have this false belief, Brother Whitmire. So she termed this coin the Mandela effect. It's where you and I hear just enough information and we fill in the blanks. Or maybe someone told it to us wrong, or we heard it or understood it wrong, and we believe that it's real. Someone say, is it real? For instance, there's an old movie from the 1930s where this woman with a bump on her nose and a little bony finger, she's looking not at the floor or the ceiling, but that part of the building. I'm not giving you too much information. And she's looking at this shiny thing on it. And she says, after she poisons the princess with an apple, what does she say at the shiny thing on the wall? Everyone, what'd she say? That's not what she said. She said, magic mirror on the wall. But somewhere along the way, Brother Braden, I also heard mirror, mirror, and I've always said it that way until I was studying for this. There's a guy who was in a fight with his son. He wore all black, and he had a breathing issue. He left his inhaler, and so he sounded like this. And after he cut his son's hand off, his son and him are talking. And his son realizes who he is. What does that guy say to his son? Everyone say, Luke. That's not what he said. He said, no, I am your father. But somewhere along the way, I heard Luke, and so I've always said, Luke, I am your father, when quoting it. So I brought some illustrations, some pictures, because it's known as the Mandela effect, as where you think it's right because maybe you're misunderstanding, but there is truth and there is lies. There is right and there is wrong. There is good and there is evil. But the devil and the enemy would allow us to believe the lies of the enemy and the Mandela effect. So to help this make sense, can you put one of those pictures up, one of those six pictures? All right, who loves Cheez-Its in the house? Parents, who gives your kids Cheez-Its? Goldfish and Cheez-Its. Okay, let's go. You want left or right? Just left or right. All right, if you think the left one is the correct one, I need you to stand up. Do you notice the difference? Hey, don't look at your friends. Be brave. That's what I'm talking about. Be confident. Be confident. I don't like it. The left one, Cheez-Its. You think it's right? I think it's the brownies because it's not. It's cheese. It's singular, so if you're standing, you got it wrong. If you're sitting, give yourselves a hand. All right, put that next one up. All right, everyone on the count of three, yell out your favorite cereal. One, two, three. All right, if you said Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Blessed and Highly Flavored, God loves you and cares about you. All right, we did less, so let's do right this time. If you think it's the right one, I need you to stand up. If you don't know the difference yet, look to a neighbor and ask them. Don't just stand up because your friend is standing up. Let's see who actually knows their cereal. If you're standing up, give yourselves a great big hand. You got it right. Good job. Good job. All right, put that next one up. Give me a break of that. Some of the older people get it. Some of the young ones are like, I have no idea what you're talking about. So we've done left, right. Let's go left again. All right, if you think it's left, I need you to stand up. Attaboy, Logan, for the team, squad. Some of y'all are still trying to figure out. It's a little hyphen in between kit and in between cat. No, no, no. You stood up. You stand back up. You stand back up. I'm joking. You can sit down if you want. All right, if you're standing up, give yourselves a great big hand. You got it wrong. There's no dash. There's no dash. Next one. There's no dash. You got it wrong. We've done left, right, left, so let's just do left again because y'all might think there's a pattern. There isn't a pattern. All right, left. If you think it's left, how many of y'all have ever played Monopoly before? It's the game like Uno that ends friendships and families, but this one lasts way longer than Uno, unless you're not allowed to double stack, and I don't know who plays that way. We double stack, and it goes a lot quicker. All right, if you think it's the left one, I need you to stand up. Brother Braden's like, I don't even know what's real anymore. What's the difference? Anybody can tell me? How do y'all know what that word is here? Man, y'all's education system is first class. I had to Google that. What's the one class thing? All right, if you're standing up, you are wrong. Planters Peanuts has a monocle. They both have a round head, but the Monopoly Man does not have a monocle. I think there's a couple more. Can you put the next one up? All right, who loves Oreos in the house? All right, who loves just regular Oreos the best? Who loves double-stuffed Oreos the best? Who loves, like, the mega-stuffed Oreos? There is deliverance in an altar today. Remind me your name. Nazar, I knew it was an N. Nazar, you can have prayer today. Mega-stuffed is disgusting. Double-stuffed is disgusting. Regular Oreos all the way. All right, we've done... You what? You've never heard of double stuffed? Okay, on the way home, we need to stop at a grocery store and expose this man to Oreos. What's the difference? Does anybody see the difference? Is it double stuff or double stuff? Two F's or one F? If you think it's one F on the right side, stand up. Everyone's just looking at Brother Braden. Whatever he does, I'm doing the opposite, except with the Word of God. All right, if you're standing up, give yourselves a hand. Give yourselves a hand. You're right. There's only one F. Now you're like, yeah, I'm so smart. All right, I think there's one more. Now this is a little bit for the older generation. Some of y'all younger ones have no idea. They make bolognese and hot dogs. Oscar Mayer wiener. Oscar Mayer hot dogs, Oscar Mayer bologna. All right, if you think it's the left, I need you to stand up. Ask your friend, oh, I wish. See, some of y'all get it. Some of y'all grew up on Hillshire Farms or whatever brand y'all got. Y'all are bougie. Y'all know about fried bologna where you got to cut it in the middle so it doesn't pop. Come on now, Will. Oscar Mayer, we said left or right. Oh, y'all are wrong. I'm sorry. It's Oscar Mayer, but it's with an A and not an E. If you got every one of those right, I need you to stand up. Did anybody get all those right? A, smart. That's what I'm talking about. Smart. Smart. I like it. Give it up for the people, the six of y'all that got them all right. Whether we realize it or not, the Mandela effect is in all parts of our life, where we remember something that might not be true, and we just apply that, and we think that double stuffed Oreos has two F's and Fruit Loop is not spelled Froat Loops. It's spelled with a U and an I for some reason. It's because we have a false understanding of what's real. And the enemy uses the Mandela effect. He said you can be close enough and still be accepted. That you can be apostolic and have a bad attitude towards other people. That you can be Christian and still be compromised. But I've come to let you know on this last service that though it might seem like it's the real thing, feelings are real, but feelings are not always right. There is good and there is evil. There is right and there is wrong. And today we must make up our mind. I'm not just going to look close enough. I want to be the real thing. I really want to love God. I really want to love others. I really want to live according to the Word of God. I don't care what anybody else does. I don't care what my family does. I don't care what my youth group does. I'm going to live for God because I'm going to make sure I have a firm foundation. Look to your neighbor and say, what's your foundation? Look to someone and say, what's your foundation? Let me minister to a moment. As a 32-year-old, as I get to serve you as your youth president for this season of my life, I want to preach about what's our firm foundation. Whether you know anything else, whether you remember illustrations or my message, whether we had fun at basketball last night or not, whether we're sore from basketball last night or not, I want you to leave here, Kylie, remembering that there is only one God and his name is Jesus. David, we better leave here knowing Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Isaiah 9:6, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, not a mighty God, not two of three of the mighty gods, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. That's what we have to build our life on. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. If you don't remember anything else, you better build your life that there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. We better learn about new birth. Someone say new birth. In John chapter 3:5, Jesus is talking to a man named Nicodemus, and he says, verily, verily, in verse 5 of John chapter 3, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man is born of water, someone say water, and spirit, someone say spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Peter and the apostles, Jesus' own mother, echoed these same words in the book of Acts on the day of Pentecost. When they heard that there was one God whose name is Jesus, who died for their sins, verse 37, it says, they were pricked in their hearts, and they said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, what shall we do? God died for us now. What do we do with that information? Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For that promise is unto you and your children, and to all those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. If you don't know anything else, you better build your life on the firm foundation of the Word of God. Someone say repentance. We still believe in repentance. I know the world tries to water down doctrine. I know we might change the methods. We might have LED screens, different colored lights. It might be a little darker. It might be a little brighter. We might do it in hotels, convention centers, stadiums, but we'll never change the message. The methods are up to change. It might be an afternoon service. It might be a morning service. Your midweek might be Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, but your preacher still better be preaching there is only one God, and his name is Jesus. We still have to be born again of water and of the Spirit. We still have to repent. 1 John 1:8 and 9 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, Sister Beth. And the truth is not in us, but if we confess our sins, God is, he's faithful and just to forgive us all of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I don't care how long you've been messed up. I don't care how long you've had those mistakes. I don't care your last name. I don't care your background. In one moment, it could have ran in your family until it ran into you today in an altar, because we still preach repentance. We still preach, it doesn't matter how messed up you are. Everything can change at the name of Jesus. That's our foundation. What's the answer for the craziness of this world? It's repentance. If you turn to God, there is a God that loves you, who will change you. You can come as you are, but you don't have to leave as you are. You can let go of all your fear and doubt and frustrations and brokenness, and you can walk out of here changed forever by God's grace. We still believe in baptism. Someone say baptism. That's our firm foundation. Young people, you better hear me. You better preach, not when we're just against stuff. You better preach for what we're for. We believe that we should still be baptized in the only saving name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19, Jesus tells his disciples, go ye therefore into all the world, teaching and baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Ghost. If you're a father in here, raise your hand. If you're an uncle in here, raise your hand. If you're a brother in here, raise your hand. If you're a son in here, raise your hand. See, I have a lot of different relationships. How I relate to my daughter is different than how I relate to my wife, and it's different than how I relate to Brother Braden. However, though I have a lot of different relationships or functions, I have a name. And God forbid if my wife is ever being attacked, David, she won't just say DJ. She won't say father, because that could get a lot of people's attention. She's going to call my name, which is your name, David. And that's my government name. That's what's going to get my attention. And that's why when we get baptized in the name of Jesus. Because if you're praying over your food, you say in Jesus' name. If you're about to get into a car accident, you don't have to figure out who to pray for. Just call out the name of Jesus. Because when you say Jesus, you're talking to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. When you say Jesus, you're talking to the healer. When you say Jesus, you're talking to the Savior and Deliverer. When you say Jesus, you're talking to the beginning and the ending, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything is in the name of Jesus. For in Jesus dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is only one God, and his name is Jesus. And that's why when we baptize in the name of Jesus. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is power in the life-changing name of Jesus Christ. That's our foundation. Look to your neighbor and say, what's your foundation? We believe in the infilling of the Holy Ghost by evidence of speaking in an unlearned language, speaking in tongues, as Jesus gives you the ability. We can find it in Acts chapter 2, Acts chapter 8, Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, Acts chapter 22. But it's not just in the book of Acts. Joel talked about it in Joel 2:28. In the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Numbers 14, Moses prophesies that there's not going to be just one person that gets to go behind the veil that's called the priest, but all God's people would be prophets and prophesy. It's found all throughout the scripture. Paul said it like this in 1 Corinthians 14:5. I would that you all would speak with tongues. In verse 18, he says, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. In verse 39, he says, you better not tell someone that they shouldn't speak with tongues. Why? Because I don't care what the world is doing. I don't care what other denominations are doing. We are going to build our life on the firm foundation, which is the Word of God. We still believe that there is one God. We still believe that we got to be born of water and of the Spirit. We believe that His Spirit changes us. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Someone say holy. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. We don't look like the world. We don't dress like the world. We don't watch what the world watches. We don't listen to what they listen to. We don't have the same conversations that they have. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. We think what the Word of God tells us to think, so that we can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he who hath called you is holy, be holy in all manner of conduct. It is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Hebrews 12:14. Follow peace with all men. We should be known by our love for other people. That's one of the most distinguishable fruits of the Spirit. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, you shouldn't just speak in tongues and then talk bad about people in English. No, we should be known by our love. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see Jesus. Holiness matters. And we get all this from the Word of God. So my message is simple. On this last time of this retreat that I get to be with you all, what's your foundation? I'm preaching that we follow Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and sell it not. That all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. His Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto our path. Psalms 119:11, thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. So my question is, what's your foundation? It's in Matthew 7 where Jesus is talking. He's given the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6, 7, and 8. And in the middle of this great sermon with the Beatitudes and talking about love and judging the right way according to the Word of God and how we should treat other people, how we can live for God better, he fits this scripture, Matthew 7, 24 through 28. And he gives this illustration of two people that built a house. Look to your neighbor and say, what's your foundation? And he starts off talking about the wise man. He says the wise man built his house upon a rock. The rain came, the wind blew, the storm happened, but his house stood because it was founded upon a rock. He continues on and says there was a foolish man. Look to your neighbor and say, don't be foolish. Who built a house, but it was on sand. Rain fell, wind blew, storm happened, and the house fell, and it was utter destruction. Do you notice that it's the same environment? How can you survive in the year 2024 when it seems like everybody else's life is falling apart? What's your foundation? You can live in the same exact environment, and you can't live for God if your foundation is the Word of God, because He is our firm foundation. He is the rock on which we stand. We must build our lives on the truth of the Word of God. Both houses had the door. Both houses had the windows. They had the attic or the basement. They had bedrooms. They had a nice kitchen. But God, in His infinite wisdom, when He's given this illustration, He's not focusing on what the house looked like. Because some of us can look the part and act the part and even serve in ministry, but our foundation's not right. Both houses might have looked the same, but something that was underneath the soil was the deciding factor while the storm was going on, if they were wise or foolish, if it would stand or if it would fall, if it was rock or if it was sand. So let's make it extremely practical today. How many believe that there is one God and His name is Jesus? But what if I gave you this microphone and said, tell me 5 scriptures? Now let's argue LeBron James facts. Me and you, we could talk for 2 hours on sports stats, but you can't show someone the oneness from the Bible. You know all the latest memes and all the little weird dances that all the young people are doing now, but you can't tell someone how to repent of their sins from the Word of God. You know all the latest fashion. You take so much time making sure your wardrobe looks good, but you don't know how to tell people about holiness unto God. There's an issue in our society. We talked about comparison last night, that we're not looking to the left and the right. I don't care what you're building your house on. I don't care what your house looks like. I'm making sure my house is built right. This morning we talked about media and that there's a pleasure that poisons, that though I might not be doing it, it could still be messing up my soul and my mental health. And so ultimately, all that can be put together and summarized in Jesus' words on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. What is your foundation? There's a problem when a young person that looks just like every other young person, even in the house of God, but yet you can't go to the Word of God and tell other people about it because you can't even know those scriptures. Where does it talk about speaking in tongues in the Bible? I'm challenging you because I know that you're made for more. You're capable of it. You know all the latest memes, all the latest trends, all the latest sports stats. You can argue politics. You know all the latest news, but we don't know the Word of God. So I want to challenge you today. What is your foundation? Your foundation better not be social media, because would you still have a ministry and would you still have friends if social media ended today? If you're building your life for fake followers, what happens when those fake followers decide to leave you? Your foundation shouldn't be social media. It shouldn't be career. It shouldn't be ministry. It shouldn't be your pastor, as wonderful as he or she is. It shouldn't be your church, as great as your church is. It shouldn't be your parents, as great as they may be. It shouldn't be Brother Braden, as amazing as I think he is, him and his wife. Our foundation isn't money. It isn't degrees. It isn't a house. It isn't nothing temporal, because all this is going to pass away. And the only thing that's going to stand is, have you been living according to the Word of God? So young people, the last time you might get to hear me, for sure this weekend, what is your foundation? What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on temporal things and trends? Or are you building your life on the Word of God? Because if I'm honest, storms are going to come. Ain't that right, Chris? Life is going to get hard sometimes. Life can get frustrating at times. Sometimes we don't always feel the presence of God. Sometimes we don't feel connected to the preached word of God. Sometimes the song isn't moving us like it used to. When you get married, you're going to have misunderstandings. When you have kids, you're going to have misunderstandings. Bills are going to come. Believe me, those are miserable. Don't try to grow up too fast. Bills are going to be due and money's going to be tight. The government's going to change things and it's going to affect you. There's going to be wars and rumors of war. So when the storm is going on, are you going to be able to stand or fall? And it doesn't matter how you look. It matters what's your foundation. As just a piano player comes. So hear my heart today. Just like these wonderful elders have preached it for generations, the word of God is true and it's still right. It's not tradition alone. It's not emotion alone. The word of God is forever settled. So I want you to ask yourself, are you building your life on the word of God or on anything else? Because anything else will fall when the storm comes. When life gets hard, you'll leave the church because it wasn't built on the word of God. It was built on you serving in ministry. When life gets difficult, you'll leave the church because it was built on having fun in the youth group. Well, what happens when the youth pastor says, you know what, we can have pizza parties and prayer meetings, but for the next month, we're just going to only do prayer meetings. Are you still going to show up? Or is it only built on the fun of church? And that's okay to have. We had it last night. We're going to have it after church today. Just hang out in the foyer before we go home. It's okay to have social media. It's okay to go to college and get a degree. It's great to have a family when it's done the right way. But that's not going to save your soul. What is your foundation? I want you to close your eyes with me right now. What's your foundation? What are you building your life on? Are you building your life on temporal things? On feelings in the moment? Are you giving into the Mandela effect where it looks close enough, but it's not the real thing? I want you to close your eyes and I want you to think about this. I want you to think through this and reflect before we come to the altar to pray. Are you spending so much time being entertained that you're not entertaining the presence of God? What are you building your life on? Is it a relationship? That guy won't get you to heaven. That girl, as pretty as she might be to you, won't get you to heaven. Your parents can't get you to heaven. Your personal relationship with God is what's going to get you to heaven. If you would look at me for a moment. Up here we print in these pieces of paper that have some essential, someone say essential, essential doctrine. If I were to ask you how to play hockey, what's essential about hockey? You would tell me there's a black puck, there's sticks, there's left or right, there's wings, there's defensive men, there's a center, there's a goalie, there's all sides, there's icing, there's hooking, there's slashing. You would give me some essential things I need to understand before I go out on the ice. Do you know what's essential? Do you know the word of God? Or do you simply just come to church? What's your foundation? And so what I want us to do in a moment, I want everyone to come up and get one. And then we're going to find somewhere to pray all across the sanctuary. Yes, in the altar, but maybe in the back corner. Maybe in the pew. Maybe you're kneeling down at the pew. And with this sheet of paper, I want us to make a commitment to God. Over the next 30 days, someone say 30 days. Over the next 30 days, the minimum that you do is read it every day. Maybe you do a social media fast. Maybe you and a few friends say, you know what, we've been trying to grow in our relationship with God. We want to see His presence move in our services more. So let's fast from some things, and we're going to start reading this together and do devotions. Maybe you don't understand all of this stuff, so maybe you need to set up a time with your pastor or pastor's wife or youth pastor and his wife to do a Bible study and say, you know what? I believe in God, but I'm a little confused about this. Can you help me? So over the next 30 days, someone say 30 days, the minimum that I feel like God wants the Atlantic youth to do, even the ministry, even me, is to at least read it, but memorize it, learn it, study it. What is your foundation? Because the storm is happening and it's destroying souls. It's not about just going to hell, but there is a great God that loves you. And I'm concerned as someone that cares about you. If we know more about temporal things like sports and education and politics, but then you can't open up the Word of God and explain to me about essential truths. If I asked you how to play hockey, you'd be able to teach me. If I asked you how to make sure that I match and the colors and patterns and all that, you'd be able to give me some principles. Can you do that with the Word of God? If you can't do that, then I'm afraid your foundation might be sand. So it's time for us to dig deep. It's time for us to cancel out some noise. And for the next 30 days, get that shovel and move all the dirt. Push everything aside. I'm not saying don't have hobbies. Don't be so heavenly minded you're no earthly good, but get rid of some of the distraction. I'm not saying don't have fun. Living for God is a blast. Believe me, me and my friends, we send each other memes. We have a good time. We love to go play golf, though I'm horrible at it. We play basketball and racquetball. But maybe I need to stop for the next 30 days so I can grow in my relationship with God. If the only time you pray is on Sundays and midweeks, then something's wrong. Your foundation's not right. So we need to get rid of some things. If you can't explain the oneness of God, we got to get rid of some things. And we need to get to the rock. And then that's what we can build our life on. If you want a blessed life, a ministry, a successful marriage, if you want joy that's everlasting, peace that passes understanding, love that's unconditional from God, the only way you'll get it, hear me, I'm preaching the same thing that the elders preached, is if your life is built on the firm foundation. Can we all come forward and grab one of these sheets of paper right now? After you grab one, just take a step back to make room for everybody else, but stay up close. God's about to move here in a moment. That said, even youth committee, staff, parents, pastors, there's enough for everybody. This is a call for the entire Atlantic District. It said, make room in the aisles. So. I feel there's a conviction for everybody, even the ministry, even myself. I have to constantly look at how I'm spending my time. Is it on things that matter in eternity, or am I spending too much time in the temporal? I'm not saying be weird or be a hermit, but we must make sure that our foundation is right. Because I don't care how great the house may seem, it will fall every time if you don't have the right foundation. So what is your foundation? What's your foundation? What are you building your life on? Go to college, but what are you building your life on? Get married, but what are you building it on? Have kids, but what are you building it on? Be involved in ministry, but what are you building your life on? It can't be built on a name. It can't be built on a church. It can't be built on a district. It can't be built on an organization. All those are important and essential, but the only thing we can build our lives on that will stand is the Word of God. Would you close your eyes with me right now? God, this has been an amazing weekend. God, I'm so moved by the spirit of this district. I feel so refreshed, not just energized by people because of my personality, but in my spirit. I feel so thankful that I got to be here this weekend. I'm so grateful for how these students prayed last night and the reflection and conviction from this morning. The fun we've been having, the conversations. But it's all worthless if we don't have the right foundation. If we don't build our life on things that will stand, when the storm comes, it will fall. So help us today to answer that question, that we build our life on the firm foundation, the Word of God. If you would look at me for one moment. Over the next 30 days, someone say 30 days, what can you do practically to live this out? Maybe you need to unsubscribe from some things. Maybe you need to delete some apps so that you can get deeper into the Word of God. Maybe you need to not do certain hobbies. I'm not saying get rid of those forever. But maybe you need to say, you know what? I've been playing so much golf, I haven't been opening up my Bible. I've been watching sports so much, I haven't been praying. What can you do for the next 30 days to build your life on the only thing that will stand through the storm? I wonder all across this sanctuary if we can find somewhere to pray. Maybe you're kneeling down at an altar. Maybe you go sit somewhere in a pew. But I want you to get alone. Someone say alone. I want you to get alone with God. We're going to pray as a youth group here in a moment and as a district. But I want you to get alone with God, and I want you to start removing dirt. I want you to start removing distractions, and I want you to build your life on something that will stand right now. I want you to make a commitment that won't just stop after you leave here. You don't have to go back to your old patterns of life in a couple weeks or in 3 months, which is the normal pattern after a great youth retreat like this. I'm not saying life's going to be easy, but you can live for God if you build your life on the firm foundation. Come on, you can talk about all the latest trends and you know those, but do you know the Word of God? If this is the most important thing, which it is, why don't we know it? Why don't we know it? Why don't we love God enough to know His Word? I want to build my life on the firm foundation, which is the Word of God.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information, connect with us on our website at missionpoint.ca. God bless you.